Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Middlesbrough Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Love Sport, the station giving the fans a voice. And we've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. And it is a show that kicks off with a win. A positive outlook brewing for the Teesiders. And you can have your say tonight by tweeting at Love Sport Radio or calling us 0208 7020 558. But it's been a bleak past few months, not the greatest of seasons, Jonathan Woodgate's first season in charge, and lately we've been worried not only about where the next win was coming from, but where the next positive performance for us to talk about. But a man who stood by us during that time and still came on the show to tell us what he thought of the team was Stephen Jackson, and now he gets to join us and finally talk about a win, Borough's first win in 11 championship games. Stephen, always good to get you on. 1-0 on the week into fellow strugglers Cholton on the road, 3 points, clean sheet, every box tick.
It was a massive win, wasn't it? I was absolutely buzzing. We got the win. It was always going to be a tough game. It was always going to be a tough atmosphere. Their fans were right up for it. So were we. So we took 2,000 down there. It was a good performance. It was solid. Big players are starting to perform all of a sudden. All of a sudden, we're showing that fight. And it was a great goal as well. And it was just great. It was just a great day. It was a great performance, great 3 points. And it got us out of the bottom three, dropped them in. And you say the rest of a lot of Teesside is very, very happy on Saturday night.
Yeah, very happy, obviously, Stephen, but still in a very dangerous position because the win did lift Middlesbrough up 3 places to 19th in the table, but they're only 2 points clear of the, you know, those in 22nd and below them. And this is still a fight to the death. And they have to sustain this now, don't they?
Oh, of course we do. I said in last week's show, we need 4 or 5 wins. If we didn't win against Charlton, I was starting to struggle where we're going to get our next win. Obviously, confidence would have dropped, heads would have dropped. But that's a massive lift. When you've got, the game coming up against Swansea at the weekend, obviously, which we'll go on to, it's a massive boost, and especially going into, I was going to say a full Riverside, but you know that could be a different question altogether after what's going on. But it's a massive win. It was much needed. It made the players realise, yeah, we can do this. We are fighters, and it gave the fans belief as well. A lot of fans were starting to struggle, starting to think, oh, I think we're in trouble. We're going now. We've got a lot of people saying, actually, we might stay up here. So yeah, it was just a massive win for everyone involved at the club.
Yeah, a massive win. And when it was against a team like Cholton, who were struggling as well, it drags them further into it whilst giving you a little bit of breathing space. So maybe it was a bigger win. And just for the belief and the momentum going into that home straight, how do they sustain it now? How do they bottle this up? Because I listened to Jonathan Woodgate after and he said, you know, we can't just think the work is done because there is still so much more to do.
That's the exact attitude that we've all got. This is just the start. We knew we had 10 big cup finals coming. We've just played one. We've got 9 to come now. We've got 9 to go. He knows how big this is. He knows how much effort, work, commitment has got to go into this from everyone at the club, not just the players, the fans, everyone. So he knows, him saying that tells us that he's a realist. He knows what's coming. He knows he has to fight. He's not going to settle on what we've done on Saturday. And it also gives you confidence that he's not going to let the players relax. He's not going to let them think, yeah, we've had one win. Maybe we can take our foot off the gas a little bit. You've got to put your foot to the floor now. We've got, you know, pedal to the metal. We've really got to go for this now. And if we can get them 5-6 wins, and say, stay up, go to Sheffield Wednesday final day, relax a little bit. The sooner we stay up, the sooner we can chill ourselves out and get ourselves on the beach.
At the time, it could have been a lot more on the weekend, couldn't it, Stephen? You know, Middlesbrough actually a little bit wasteful. If they found their shooting boots, all the chances they had, I think it was 23 chances created, but maybe only as little as 4 on target. And Borough did have more chances, didn't they?
Yeah, we created a lot down each flank. We had a good couple of partnerships. So I say the left had Johnson and Coulson, and the right had Housen and McNair, working really well with Rudy playing another great game up front. He's starting to really show that he has got the fight in him to keep going and pushes on. We were wasteful, but I'd rather be wasteful and create chances and be sat there like we were a couple of weeks ago, not having a shot on target. We were still creating bother. We were still creating some problems for Charlton. Yeah, we should have won by more, but it's them games where we don't score and we waste them chances. That's the ones that have been killing us this season, and we managed to get that goal. It was a great goal, well taken from Paddy as well. So that's the positives we're all going to take, and that's what we'll move forward with, that we can score goals.
Yeah, it was a great goal by Paddy McNair. Actually, beautiful, fluid, attacking football from Byron. We've kind of missed out on that in the last few weeks, but it just shows, and this is what you and the fans have been saying, they have got this in their locker, haven't they?
Yeah, it's exactly what we've been pushing for all season. We've got this in our locker. We know how to score a goal. We know how to play good football. It's just having them little bits of luck that we've been missing out on, and that final pass that hasn't been connecting. But on Saturday, it connected. No one would have blamed Rudy for being that number nine striker and going for goal where he was, but he didn't. He put his head on. He saw Paddy making the run, played the ball perfectly, and it was right on his left foot. He didn't even have to break stride. Straight in the bottom corner. It was a great finish. And that's what we're capable of. And we've seen it in the past, home to home, away games like Brentford. We played good football and we can score good goals. And they said, hopefully we can keep that going for the next nine games.
Yeah, and you mentioned Gested there. And it's something that with the 2-2 draw the other week against Forest and in this performance now, we're seeing what he brings to the team. And that there has been another dimension up top, hasn't there?
Yeah, he's a magnet. He's a magnet for the football. The ball goes straight to him. He knows how to hold it up. It's one of his strengths. He always plays better with someone alongside him. He's not exactly his greatest when he is on his own up front, but he did have that support on Saturday. He had players like Wing, like McNair, like Coulson, Johnson. They were all running off him. They all knew to get round him, support him, and be there when the pass was going to come off. Wing had chances. I think he had two or three chances. Tavernier had chances as well. So he's just that player that will feed off and he will give the ball away to another player to give them a chance and also have a couple of chances himself. So it was the perfect number nine performance for me. He played really well on Saturday.
Yeah, he is a tower up front, a giant up front. I want to speak about a giant at the back as well. Makoudi, just a brilliant sign-in for Middlesbrough. How important has he been and what's been the impact of him in the side?
He's just such a calming influence. He's a man mountain. I think he's 6'4". I think he's 6'4" wide as well. He's a big guy, but he's so calm and he's so easy with the ball at his feet. He knows how to play football. Even when players around him are starting to panic a little bit of uncertainty about where to put the ball, he just tells everyone, just calm down, don't worry, and takes it out if he needs to. He's got the confidence to take it 10, 20 yards and pick that pass. He's not going to rush it. And that's exactly what he needs at the back. He needs a calm influence that's going to pass on to the other three at the back four. And it really did work on Saturday because he's starting to put a nice little partnership with Shotton now, which is we're all starting to see.
Yeah, and obviously Shotton coming back from that injury. We spoke about that at length on the show as well a few weeks back. And now we're seeing more of a settled side. But, it had to be settled and we had to be composed at the back because there was a debut for young goalkeeper as well, wasn't he? And he actually shone on the day too.
Yeah, he was. Something we've all been wanting to look for, waiting for, say, watching Dejan Stojanovic in goal. And I know he didn't have a lot to do. There wasn't a massive amount of saves, but the saves he did make, the impact he did make on the game, he was very good. He was calm. He was collected. He knows how to use both feet. He's not rushed. He knows how to distribute the ball properly. He knows when to keep the ball. He just looks very calm. He looks very reassuring when the likes of McCoody and Shotton did turn round and see him at the back. It looked like they had the trust in the keeper straight away. And for that to be his debut as well, to have that trust click, it's a massive plus for the Borough. And I say, with two keepers that are going for the number one spot, it can only be good for us.
Yeah, and kind of coming away from Middlesbrough, just for a minute, Stephen, obviously, because I want to talk about a whole host of things that are going on in the footballing, sporting world at the minute and talk about them for a Middlesbrough perspective. The first, obviously, Charlton going through a really bad time in the EFL, looking like we don't know what their future's like with their owners, and especially what happened with the likes of Bury in the EFL. They've ratified this. How did this get through? It kind of sort of gives you hope then, as maybe as a Middlesbrough fan, maybe how good you've had it in the owners and even announcing a £2 million profit of late.
Exactly. It shows that the work that we've done to cut back, I know it's not shown on the pitch. We've had to sell a couple of players, obviously the likes of Traore, Bamford, Gibson, all were sold to obviously contribute to this profit. It shows how much Steve Gibson does love this club. you do look at some of these, the chairman and owners that do go for this this test that the AFL do have. I'm not sure how they get through it. I mean, look at Massimo Cellino when he went through it at Leeds. I mean, is it really a fit and proper test if they don't know what a fit and proper test is? That's another discussion, obviously. But as I say, we've always said, we've said for years, we'd never swap Steve Gibson for any chairman in the world. Doesn't matter how much money he's got, how much money they could bring in, we'd never swap a local lad for that in a million years.
Yeah, and obviously the big breaking news, certainly not just in sport, in the world at the minute, the coronavirus news coming into us all day today as well before this show. The NBA in America cancelled, Champions League games are cancelled, football games are cancelled, behind closed doors postponed. Where do you think this leaves the EFL? And for you, Stephen, what is next? And, you know, football is nothing if it doesn't have the fans, whether it's behind closed doors or not.
Exactly. At the end of the day, football without fans is nothing. Pep Guardiola said that a couple of days ago when he was asked about it before his press conference against Arsenal. Obviously, that game didn't go ahead because of this. You can't play games behind closed doors. I watched a game last night. I was looking between Liverpool and the PSG game. PSG was behind closed doors.
Crazy.
It just wasn't right for me. It didn't seem right. All them empty seats. I know, obviously, most grounds have got empty seats these days, but you don't want to see a ground that's got no seats in. No fan wants to sit at home when they've got a season ticket in the pocket and have to watch it at home. No fan wants to do that. And I really hope it doesn't come to that. But by the looks of what's going on, obviously Real Madrid being quarantined now.
Yeah.
Italian league obviously being crossed off for a few weeks. La Liga's done the same. Unfortunately, it does look like it is going to come down to that. And it's such a shame for us fans as well, because like we've always said, football without fans really is nothing.
And obviously, fan health and safety comes first. But could we see a situation, Stephen, where maybe the EFL and the Championship, you know, end it where it actually ends, which would mean Middlesbrough is safe for another year? There's even talk that the Euros are played in 2021. We just don't know, really, the next step, do we?
I think everybody's just playing it day by day now. Yeah. I think it's just changing so much. I mean, we all went to sleep last night. Nothing had really happened. We've all woke up. NBA's being cancelled. Even you know, likes of the Formula One, that's been affected. Obviously, McLaren pulling out. See, all the teams being quarantined. Football has been found positive for coronavirus. It's starting to grow and it's starting to multiply a bit too quick. I mean, you've got America stopping travel. I think that's going to stop around Europe. So unfortunately, that'll stop the European games. But hopefully, we can. If the season stops, happy days. You know, we finished 19th. We stay up. I'm happy, but I don't want to see the season finish like that. I want to see us finish the season on May the 2nd, but unfortunately, it may come to the fact that we may see the season finish in the middle of March.
Yeah, obviously, health and safety is paramount for everyone involved. Yeah. Stephen, really good to talk to you, especially good to talk to you when it is on the back of the win. We're hoping for one more, of course. It's Swansea on the weekend. We're going to be talking about that in the second half, but make sure you check Stephen Jackson out at The 12th Man, because their podcast and all the Borough content they do is second to none. There is still more to come.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Middlesbrough Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, it's always a special Middlesbrough Fan Show. Well, because they won and we have got a positive show to talk about. 3 points, a clean sheet in the bag, but we always try to go one better. And that is why I'm delighted to say, joining us now, comedian Ted Hankey. We heard from Ted a few weeks back and we just knew we had to get him back on the show. And you can join us tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Ted, I'm imagining that you were a very happy Borough fan on the weekend because it was 3 points, and it was 3 points, a vital 3 points, against fellow strugglers Cheltenham.
Oh, get in! I'm absolutely buzzing, I really am. I can't believe it, honestly. I was really expecting us to lose that game because we're a bit rubbish at the minute, aren't we? So it was a good win.
You're a bit rubbish at the minute. And what has turned it around then, Ted, for you? You knowing the fans and the team as you do, we thought like confidence had gone. There was no momentum. All of a sudden, 23 shots. This football arc's easy, ain't it, Ted?
Well, I don't know what's happened. I think they've been having to wait to fix or something, because I totally wasn't expecting 23 shots when the previous games before that, we couldn't even get one on target. I think Robbie Keane's actually started doing some coaching, because, you know, I don't know what purpose he's had up until now. But, yeah, it's I was delighted. I really was. We must have just come up against the Charlton team, who were just a bit more rubbishy than us.
Yeah, a bit more rubbish than you on the day. But maybe it wasn't just the Weetabix. Maybe it was that special edition Weetabix protein. They've been really getting the extra ones in, Ted. But I want to talk about how this team have come to life now. And also, maybe it could get even stronger in the next couple of weeks, because Patrick Roberts is due to join training again. And we know of the impact he can have. And it could really be a massive boost to the business end of the season.
I think you're right there, Charlie. I do. I'm sort of hoping he doesn't change the winning team, though, because it was such a positive away performance. And the next game, we're at home against Swansea, and I'm kind of hoping he can build on the momentum of that. But it'd be great having Roberts on the bench, and if it's not working, we can just drop him in there to create something, because, you know, he's a fantastically gifted player. I hope he can get a chance to prove how good he is. Like when he was at Celtic, he was amazing. I'd love to see that at Borough.
Yeah, and especially with all the creativity he brings, although, like you said, they might not need it in a minute. 23 chances on the weekend and great away form. And with the games that are left then, Ted, what will it come down to? You know, Borough really finding it at home, or will it come down to picking up a few more points, which are at a premium on the road as well?
Yeah, no, it's a valid point. I think we've got a bit of a tough running compared to a lot of the other teams, but I think that'll give us a real kick up the backside, to be honest. I think that'll really make us, you know, focus and see what's at stake here. I mean, Rudy Gusted the other day, he played like Ibrahimovic. He was absolutely fantastic. I didn't even think he had legs, honestly. I didn't think he could run, but he was all over. He was challenging for everything. And I think you keep someone like him, his confidence high, he's the type of player who win and fight for the win. So I think Shot and the new lad who we've got on loan in defence, I can't pronounce his name, I don't want to make a fool of myself.
I'll do it. McCoody, is it? But I think I've got that wrong.
McCoody, that's him. Yeah, I think that's him. Yeah, they were outstanding. It was like watching the old John Scales and Phil Babb of Liverpool. It was lovely to watch. It really was.
Absolute lovely. And another one that could be actually forcing his way back into the first team, because Woodgate said, you know, he needed to apply himself a little bit more, show a bit more commitment, is Jed Spence. What are you making of that? Because he's still a player that can offer a lot, isn't he? Young, he signed a contract extension, but it is one that is tipped to have a big future.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think Chelsea were interested in him earlier on in the season. He ticks all the boxes, doesn't he, of a young, athletic English fullback who can get forward, create chances, but doesn't shy out of a tackle as well. And he's got good air, you know. That's always nice, isn't it, when you've got a fullback with good air. It gives the fans something to look at. But he's creative, and I like him. I think he's got a big future, and I'm glad he's signing a new contract. But it wouldn't surprise me if nothing happens next season, then someone snaps him up, because he's a big talent.
Yeah,
he really is.
He's a big talent. He's only a run of first team games away from getting that Head and Shoulders commercial deal and being the poster boy. Ted, I do want to talk about something a little bit serious, because me and you are never really known for our serious conversations, but it's good to bring a little bit of light to the show. But there is big news going on, not in the footballing world, obviously the world as such with coronavirus. Massive at the minute, games being played, no handshakes, and yet fans, players can put in challenges and be all over each other. Games behind closed doors, could the season end? What are you making of it, and how will this impact Middlesbrough if we see at the Riverside no fans there?
Well, we only are still the stadium anyway, to be honest. but we're passionate fans, the ones who do attend. I think it's going to be horrible. I do. I think it's going to be horrible. It's like me going to do a comedy gig and there's no audience, you know. I've done some in the past where I've turned up and there's like three or four people and you're like, oh, I might as well have just performed to a bus queue, you know what I mean? So it's going to be tough, because the fans, certainly on home games, they help spur the players on to get that extra sort of bite, don't they? And if we don't have that, I think football's going to be very boring. And the fact that you can't even watch it in the pub as well, you know, you're going to have to sit, I'm going to have to sit at home with a wife and watch it, and that's rubbish. But like you're saying about the handshakes and stuff, what a load of rubbish. Half the footballers wear gloves anyway. But after the game, they're all hugging. You know, they've been rolling around.
We can hug and we can go up for aerial challenges, but we can't handshake.
Yeah, exactly. And Middlesbrough are quite old school, you know. They all get in the bath together at the end of the game. So, you know, surely that's going to be spreading some diseases about.
But certainly, that's a different type of show, though, Ted. Let's quickly talk about, obviously, because fans aren't allowed to go to games, but we're seeing, especially in the European games and games, even up and down the country in England, fans are still travelling to the games. They've got tickets. That, like you said, they're watching games in the pubs and the bars, so they're still interacting.
I can understand why they're doing it, but when you look at, you know, some of the Champions League games that have been cancelled, right? Why didn't they put the Liverpool game last night behind closed doors? Because Madrid's got a really high case of coronavirus, and all them fans came over to watch the game. Yet they postponed the Arsenal Chelsea game, and the Paris Saint Germain game was behind closed doors. It was like, it's like one rule for one and another for another. There's no consistency. It just needs to be a blanket rule. This is what's happening in football, and you know, and everyone follow it rather than, you know, different leagues doing different things. It's going to get messy, I think, really messy.
Yeah, and obviously earlier on today, breaking news, Man City, they've now postponed their game with Real Madrid. Real Madrid players testing for coronavirus. Rugani for Juventus, it has been tested positive. Not good news and not a pretty sight at the minute. It's only going to get worse before it gets better. It is Swansea on the weekend where we want to turn our attentions, though, Ted, because they still have plenty of work to do, the Borough. What are you making of the game on the weekend? It's actually Swansea themselves who haven't won in three championship games, so maybe the perfect time to face them. Momentum maybe even in Middlesbrough's favour.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if we go at Swansea and we hit them hard, they won't like that, because we've got a couple of players who can get stuck in. And I think if we bully them and keep up that momentum of trying to get shots on target and getting crosses in the box and, you know, using Gisted's height, I think we'll wipe the floor with them. I really do. So my prediction against Swansea is I think Middlesbrough are going to win 3-0. I really do.
3-0. Would you feel like they're just starting to edge away now? And it's obviously with Hull getting thrashed on the weekend, Ted, they're really in the battle themselves, ain't they?
Yeah, they're struggling. They sold all their best players. Ever since the lad left to go to the
West Ham,
the Premier League. West Ham, yeah. I think they relied a lot on him to pull out sort of last minute equalisers, last minute winners. He's a great player, and I think you know, they've got a pretty poor manager. I think they're, you know, we're quite fortunate that the teams around us are just as bad, or if not worse. That's how I see it at the minute. So even if results don't go our way, there's still a good chance the teams around us will lose as well, I think.
Yeah, and I just wanted to quickly talk about, there's lots being made with the news of Charlton at the minute and their owners and all the back and forth. What do the fans make, and what's the general consensus of Gibson? We spoke about it with Stephen Jackson earlier on the show, but, you know, Gibson always doing above and beyond for Middlesbrough. Obviously, there's been a couple of times not the best decisions, but always kept Middlesbrough afloat and a £2 million profit in the last few days. What's your reaction to Gibson's ownership?
Yeah, it's hard to balance with the Middlesbrough fans, because you know, when we're doing well, they love him, but when things are going wrong or we don't bring in, you know, good enough players, some of the fans blame him, and I think that's a bit hard, because he rescued the club and he's invested a lot of money over the years, and he has came out and said, look, the things I'm going to be doing over the next couple of seasons is running a business. So he brought in Tony Pulis to almost manage the books. And although the football was unattractive, he did do that. He got rid of a load of the expensive wages. We still teetered around the playoffs. And the fans wanted him out because the football was rubbish. And they felt we should have been pushing towards the Premier League. So we've done that. We've listened to the fans. And now we've gave Woodgate the chance, who's one of our own. And he's struggling because he's got a very weak squad. He's got a lot of youngsters coming through, and he's not really had the financial backing like a lot of the other teams in the league have as well. And I think that might all change next season. We've got this $2 million profit. If we can stay in the division, I think we'll start to make some good signings. Probably get a few more off the wage bill, and I think we'll gently start to creep up that table. And I think we'll be there or thereabouts in the playoffs again next season if we stick with Woodgate and let him stick to the plan. Because I think Gibbo's got a plan for him, and we've got to trust him. We've got to trust him. He's a top bloke, Gibbo.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they've done. They have trusted him. They've gave him that time. They've stayed on the course with Woodgate. And like you said, you know, trim the wage bill, add a few more players in, and they can climb. And we've seen it. It's a very young squad. And when they had that little good form around the New Year period, they did show how well they can play. It does bode well for next season, but we'll cover that, Ted, once we are confirmed and safe. But Ted, always a pleasure to be joined with you. Ted Hankey, comedian here. Make sure you check Ted out, because he's just genuinely brilliant, and that's why we're so delighted to get him on the show. But the Middlesbrough Fan Show on the up tonight, as is the team. We will be back, as we are every week, every Thursday, 10 to 10:30 on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.